This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Well, good morning to everyone.
Morning.
It's nice to see you today. Beautifully rainy, cloudy day. I just got in from walking the dogs when the rain hit today. So we were just a little bit wet. Not bad. This morning, I forwarded to Shirley a follow-up message from Chuck Swindoll about prayer, and she forwarded it out by email. Make sure you read that, because sometimes we get to praying for other people, and there's something we fail to do. And that little devotional highlights what we need to do. So most of you received that email, so please read that. And see if it doesn't say something to you. Good to have Julie back with us today. She struggled pretty much all week, got some medication, started improving, so it's good to have her home. So, now, I hope you've looked at the title of your handout. If you haven't, look at it. And this whole message today is built around that. This man receives sinners. Immediately when I see something like that, it demands a question. And that question is, do I receive sinners? I want you to keep asking yourself that question as we go through today. If there's one thing that Jesus did that he received the most criticism about, and it was spending time with lost people. And you might think that's strange, but in his day, the religious leaders couldn't care less about the lost people. Those lost people, or those people that were not part of their little social group, they wouldn't hang around them at all because they were either ritually or ceremonially unclean, or they were handicapped, or they were of a lower socioeconomic class, or whatever it is. They wouldn't spend time with them. They didn't make an effort to reach out to them, and they sure didn't spend time having meals with lost people. But that's exactly what Jesus did do. I hope your mind's working already. So this morning we're going to read the stories that he told leading up to his discussion. And I've invited some people to come along. First,
This is from Luke 15, 1 through 22. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
A Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
And then he said, "There was a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and journeyed himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf there and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry."
And a big thank you to my readers today. So there you have it. Three amazing little stories that we have heard so many times. How many's heard these stories most all of your life? What do you think of them? What did he say? Well, I'm going to invite you. What hit you as you went through these stories? And please, if you respond, speak loudly. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out the other, okay? So Julie says amen. What hit you out of these stories?
More joy.
What's that? Yep.
Than the rest.
Yep. More joy with one sinner who come in. It's good.
Every soul is precious.
Yeah. What?
It teaches me what forgiveness is all about.
Okay.
Finding something that's been lost. Mm-hmm. I lost my wallet yesterday. And in front of the bank, in front of the police, in front of everybody, I only discovered that it was all my wife's handbag.
Sometimes these stories are better than the message. Keep going. Well, three wonderful little stories that hit us in so many different kind of ways. And I think most of us can identify with each of these stories. But what did Jesus intend? And that's what I want to look at today. What did Jesus intend? First, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Open it up for us and let us see what Jesus intended and the message that comes through these texts to us today that we can learn from and apply in our lives. Help us to get it and then help us to apply it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Well, who were these guys? Well, first of all, the tax collectors were Jewish men who bought the right to collect taxes from their brothers and sisters. They were wealthy men who made even more money. You know the old saying, it takes money to make money? Well, that's exactly what they were doing. And my guess is there were very few Jewish brothers and sisters around that hadn't been burnt by these guys. So they weren't dearly beloved type people. Matter of fact, they were despised and they were hated, because normally they would know exactly what a person owed, and then they would tack a finder's fee on top for themselves. So they would get richer and richer and richer, and everybody there knew that they were getting their money by dishonest means. And many of them had experienced it personally. But then Luke mentions sinners. Why does he differentiate between tax collectors and sinners? Because we know that tax collectors probably were sinners too. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, seeing as how they were dishonest and how they got their money. But he said, and the sinners came. These were people that were considered lower class. They lived in very questionable situations. They worked in questionable jobs. You see, the normal Jewish community would not be caught dead around these sinners. The Jewish community were above them. And they would spend no time with these social rejects. But interesting, the tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus. Don't miss that. These tax collectors, these wealthy sinners, and these social reject sinners are coming to Jesus. Wonder why? Well, I know where you can find the answer. Just read the Gospels, you'll find it, okay? You'll find what Jesus is saying to the tax collectors and sinners. Anyway, these people were coming to Jesus, but the thing that caught everyone's attention is that he was receiving them and inviting them for a meal with him. A meal with this Jewish rabbi? Yeah, that's what he was getting criticized for. He was getting too close to the lost community. He was getting too lovey-dovey with the lost community. Matter of fact, he was even being identified with the lost community, because they thought, because this was tax collectors and sinners, and we know they're unclean, then Jesus, by association, was unclean. So the Jews would go, whoa, let's get away from this guy. He's unclean. But do you think that stopped Jesus? No. It spurred him on. Why did it spur him on? Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Mustn't do that. We see, Luke said that the Pharisees were complaining about him. You know religious people who ever complained? Oh, surely that wouldn't happen. But they were complaining. So why? What did Jesus do? Why did he? Let's look at these stories. The first two, something valuable was lost. And when the first one was a sheep that was lost, the next was a coin that was lost. And whenever these personal valuable things that were lost were discovered that they were missing, there was an all-out effort to find what was missing. I mean, there was no corner unsearched. There was no stone unturned. These people would look everywhere to find what they had lost. The shepherd, he lost a little sheep. What could happen to a little sheep out in the wilderness? Somebody tell me. Well, your imagination is, you can take it as far as you want to. I mean, you got wild animals, you got whatever. I mean, because a sheep is not the smartest thing in the world. And a young sheep is probably pretty much helpless. So that shepherd knew that, and when this little sheep lost, he left the 99 who were safe to find the one. Matter of fact, his ultimate priority at that time was the one lost sheep, and the 99 carried a distant past at that point. And when he finds it, he places it on his shoulders and carries him back to the fold. And he's so relieved when he finds the sheep that he calls all of his friends and neighbors. I'm sure he was using his iPhone. But anyway, he calls all of his friends and neighbors together and gathers them together, and they have a celebration because he was so excited about finding that sheep. It's the same it was with the lady who lost a coin. And we can get into an explanation of why this one coin was so important to her, but we won't do that. But anyway, she lost the coin, and she swept and looked in every corner of the house to where she finally found it. And then when she found it, she called her friends and neighbors together, and they celebrated. But I noticed a few words that were consistent in those first two. They started looking. You ready for this? Until they found it. They didn't stop. They wouldn't be distracted. They wouldn't get tired or too hungry or too whatever. They kept looking till they found that which was lost. We all are impressed with the searcher's passion and the success and the celebration. But why would Jesus tell these stories? Well, he answers that in verse 7. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. What do you think the self-righteous persons were thinking? What do you think the complaining Pharisees, who were kind of up at themselves, you know? They thought they were it. And Jesus says, one of these lost people that I'm spending time with, if they were ever to repent and come to the Father, they're far more valuable than all of you. And this shows a very, very clear picture of the passion of God our Father. It's the lost. It's those who are rejected by the community. It's the rich who are sinners as well. That is the Father's focus. Now may I ask, is that our passion? Is it our passion to see the lost found? Or are there other things that distract us? I think we'd all have to say, guilty. Then Jesus tells us the story that we all know so well. A young son chooses to get his inheritance. He goes away and spends it on wine, women, and song. All of a sudden, a famine hits the land, and this rich boy ends up losing everything. He was a classic riches to rags story. And this Jewish boy, this is kind of interesting, don't miss it. A Jewish boy finds himself feeding pigs. What did Jews think of pigs? Unclean. But this little Jewish boy finds himself, that's his only occupation, and he would even eat the pods that the pigs were eating. He was so hungry, but he was working and he was feeding pigs. I love the way Jesus tells the story. He drives it home pretty clear. Anyway, this young boy decides, I have messed up. I have ruined everything. My father back home, his servants have plenty of bread, and here I am, his son, and I have nothing. It's all gone. Point to ponder. Sometimes sin will cost you a lot. We need to make good decisions for God, or our bad decisions can destroy us. Keep that in mind. Anyway, this Jewish boy decides he's going to come home. He has his little speech prepared of repentance. And then he decides to get up and he's walking on his way home. And then all of a sudden he gets close and he sees this older gentleman running to him like he's crazy. Well, according to what the scripture says, this father who had the lost son, he must have been looking for him because off in the distance, he says, while he's still afar off, he comes running to meet with his son. Why would he do that? After all, this boy has squandered everything he was given. Why would the father do that? He's coming home. He's coming home. I like one author's description of this older father. So he's coming along. I mean, you know he's wearing a robe. All Jewish men did at that time. And this is a very disgraceful thing for an older Jewish man to do, but he must have pulled that robe up and took off running. You can't run in a robe. But he was that excited to see his son. And then when Dad got there, I'm sure there was a lot of, forget tradition, I'm sure there was a lot of hugging up and enjoying themselves. And the son kicks into his repentance story. And I love it. The father totally ignores everything he was saying. He doesn't even want to hear the repentance story. He said, this son that was lost, he's come home. That's all that matters to me. Don't you love the heart of God? Because that tells us the heart of God. So what did Jesus mean with these three stories? Why was his point so important that he would tell the same story over in different stories, but very similarly? And I think the celebrations that followed show us why it was so important. You see, all heaven rejoices when one sinner comes home. You remember the people that were standing around, and the reason Jesus was criticized is because the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear him? If you were one of those tax collectors and sinners and you heard these three stories, what would you be thinking? I've made the right decision. I've come to the right person. This guy tells me what God thinks of me. It doesn't matter what I've done. He's going to receive me. That's exactly what Jesus was telling in the story. And you and I, if you're saved, can identify with this. You and I can remember the time we saw ourselves as sinners and desperately needing a Savior. We were without hope. There was no hope of eternity. We maybe were spiraling. We maybe hit ground already and began to look up. And then we heard the love of Jesus for us, and we decided to get on our knees and come home. And almost hear that old hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Come home. And we came home, and we experienced the love of Jesus. So these tax collectors and sinners, that's what they heard in the story. Because they understand now that they're more important than all the religious people that are standing around, griping and complaining. They're more important in the eyes of God at that point more than they are. Wow. Now, there's another group of people that was standing there. It was the Pharisees. When you heard these three stories, what would you think? I mean, they'd probably keep complaining. They said, oh, this guy's a lunatic anyway, so I won't have to listen to him. But those guys that were griping and complaining about him hanging out with sinners, if they were honest at all, they would finally realize they're a little bit messed up in their thinking. I mean, they claim to be able to want to follow God, and now they hear the true heart of God. The true heart is for those sinners that they were rejecting. Don't you think that some of those Pharisees just might have felt a little bit convicted? I think maybe so. If you've got Jesus telling a story right in front of you, then you've got the Holy Spirit working on the other end too. I'm sure these stories struck home with the Pharisees. Well, let me ask you. Oh, I left out a third story. There was another group of people too. And it was the disciples. The disciples were listening and they were learning. And they heard these stories that clearly revealed the passion of the Heavenly Father. And I'm sure they began asking themselves, does my passions line up with his? Perhaps there were some adjustments they needed to make. So now let me ask you, which group are you? Think about it. If you're a Christian, you are part of the ones who was lost and have come home. But hopefully you're not one of the Pharisees that really have no intentions of spending time with lost people. Or are you a learner? Are you a disciple who's honestly trying to be more like Jesus? You know what's so very, very important? Your response to that will pretty much paint a picture of what you're going to do for Christ. Because if we're learners, and I tell you what, you know, I've been preaching the Bible probably 30, 35 years, and I am a learner. The more I understand, the more I understand I don't know. But I'm still learning. And when I see something like this, I try to adjust my own life to better reflect the passions of God. Do you see maybe that's something that all of us need to do? But please, if you see yourself as the Pharisee, I think repentance is in order. If you recall last week, we talked about the way back to the Father, Him really using us. It's first repentance, then passionate prayer, and then God begins to move. If you look at the prodigal son, his was the same story. He found himself crashed and at the bottom of life. He chose to repent and go back to the Father. He was restored. So wherever you see yourself in this story, make that decision to move toward Jesus, not away. If you're here today and you still see yourself as one of the lost people, one of the tax collectors or sinners, I think you can see now a clear picture of the heart of God for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what color your skin is, what race you've been raised in. It doesn't matter to God. What matters is somebody who recognizes they're lost and they need a Savior, and you come to the right place. Because, see, Jesus receives sinners, and He rejects the Pharisee. So if you see yourself as one of those lost ones, come home. Come home. You'll find His arms are open wide. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this three stories that Jesus told. I'm sure these stories really encouraged the tax collectors and sinners because they just kept on coming. It really challenged the disciples that perhaps they need to adjust their thinking to be more in line with Yours. And I'm sure some of the Pharisees felt that convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they knew change was in the air. So, Father, help us to take these stories today and apply in our lives. Help us not to walk away and forget what Jesus said. The truth really is of this whole thing is, God, Your heart is for the lost, the rejected, whether rich, whether poor, whether socially elite, or totally rejected. Your heart is for the lost. May our hearts be the same as Yours. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
If you want to read ahead, the Lord give me a thought for the message next week. John 15. You may tell me what that is? The vine and the branches. A beautiful analogy. Read that. That's what we'll talk about. Have a good week.